Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Before we get to the word, may we have a word of prayer. Father, we've tuned off to tune in to listen to your message. Send the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts so that the words that come out of my mouth may be sent from above, O Lord, and lead to the transformation, reformation, and salvation of souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon is Free Indeed. The memory text, which was ably read to us by Elder Dorothy, thank you for having put up this service, tells us that if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. As we continue with the celebrations of Independence Day, commemorating the events of 4th of July, 1776, I thought it appropriate to theme my message in line with this auspicious occasion. On searching for the meaning of the word free, for that is what independence is largely all about, I found it to be a word which can be defined as release from captivity, or confinement, or slavery. Therefore, if I was to rephrase John 8 verses 36 to include this definition, it will read as, therefore, if the Son releases you from captivity, you shall be free indeed. Therefore, if the Son releases you from confinement, you shall be free indeed. Therefore, if the Son releases you from slavery or bondage, you shall be free indeed. Many a time as Christians or as a people, there has always been a misconception of what being free really means. Our celebrations, for example, reflect back on the events of the American Revolution, which climaxed with the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain. An event going back to July 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain. And thereafter, as we all know that, on the 4th of July, they voted, they prepared, and approved a statement explaining this decision. And that statement, as we all know, it's called the Declaration of Independence. It was signed on the 4th of July, 1776. And if I was to quote one of the signatories of this declaration statement, John Adams, in a letter to his wife, Abigail, had this to say, and I quote, "This will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God. For this freedom to have been achieved, sacrifices were made, lives were lost, and property was destroyed. Most notably, a delegate of Virginia by the name of Thomas Nelson, who directed the bombardment and destruction of his own home in Yorktown, which at the time was occupied by enemy forces. We are even told that he went further to assume personal responsibility for raising $2 million to pay for the assistance the French fleet had rendered to the forces of George Washington. And when time came to redeem that note in 1776, it cost him his fortune, and Thomas Nelson ended up dying in poverty. That's what it costs to get that freedom. Yes, the price of political freedom is usually high, no matter where, but I have come to the realization that you can still be in captivity, you can still be in confinement, or still be in bondage while still living in the land of the free. I am reminded of a testimony shared by one Brother Carl during prison ministry some 4 years ago, which brought to my attention that there is something about freedom which, if taken for granted, leaves you still in bondage, enslaved, in captivity, and feeling that you are confined. Brother Carl volunteered to sing a song. See, when we go to do prison ministry, after doing all those clearance checks and everything, you get into the hall and the brothers are brought. So I always give a chance for testimonies. But on this occasion, this brother volunteered to share his testimony. And this is what he had to say. Before I sing a song for the Lord, let me share something about my life. He says that he was on the downtown streets in one of the cities of the United States. He was directing the operations of his drug cartel. And he had just set everything in place and had just stopped into the store, got himself something, and on his way out, there was a shootout. He was shot not once, not twice, not three times, but multiple times. As he lay there struggling for his life, the police were called. The EMS came, the paramedics. He was rushed to the hospital. As he was receiving treatment, the police were also conducting their investigations. Once he recovered in stable condition, he was arrested and charges were preferred against him. As the process went on, he went to court and he was sentenced to do time in prison. But what Brother Carl said is that I rejoice that even though I am in prison with a bullet still lodged in the lower leg of my body, I thank God because I am free. He even went ahead to sing the old Negro spiritual version. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Obviously, he sang in a better voice than mine. But that night, since I left the correctional facility, asking myself as I drove home, what is freedom? What is a prison? Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Mind's innocent and quiet take, that for an hermitage. Having that as the background and placing it at the back of your mind, saints, if you were to go back to the scripture, which was very ably read by Elder Dorothy, we find that in verse 31, there is a conversation going on between the Jews who believed in Jesus and his word. And they thought that they were free because of being descendants of Abraham. And therefore, since they had never been in bondage, they never required anyone to set them free. That's why in verse 33, they tell Jesus that we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? How mistaken they were. Because as the conversation continues in verse 34, Jesus exposes their mistake. For Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." What that means is that you and I may be living in a politically free world, a freedom which cost great sacrifices to achieve, but still be in bondage because of sin. Sin is holding me, sin is holding you back from freedom. Sin is denying you freedom. Let me make it plain. We as a nation, founded under God, in God we trust, are going against the very laws that God Himself has laid in the Holy Bible. The Constitution, with all its laws, has started again going against the foundation upon which this great nation was founded. It's important also to note that this great nation is revered throughout the entire world for their statements on democracy and freedom. But that finger which is pointing at oppression to others has three fingers pointing back to it for denying freedom. What am I saying? I'm talking about our schools. Whereas our children have been given free education, our children are not free. When I hear of shootouts in our elementary schools, when I hear about gangs in our elementary schools, when I hear about immorality in our elementary schools and high schools, saints, that shows that it's sin which is reigning in our children. And children, saints, never asked to be born. The fruit of the womb is from the Lord. Once they are conceived, saints, it's upon us to instill the right values in our children. It's upon us to tell them that sin destroys. And that's why I'm very excited that my sisters, Yasmin and Hope, are putting together a program alongside the whole team of volunteers under VBS, Vacation Bible School. Because once you instill godly values in a child, once you train them in the way which you want them to grow, they'll never depart from it once they're adults. I thank my parents, I thank our community, I thank our society, because those values were instilled in me. And that's why today I can stand here and be used by Jesus. But that sin is not only prevalent in our children. The sin is even taking root in our colleges under various sugarcoating names. LGBT Association, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. A college whereby we are taking our youth for the purposes of training them to change and transform and be there for the challenges of the future is itself providing environment for sin to prevail. Saints, we need to know what sin is. We need to call sin by its name and stop sugarcoating it. Rebuke sin in the name of Jesus, saints. It no matter where. We are in the world, but you are told not to be of the world, right? We are told not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. The only way that you can address sin is by calling it by its name, not by saying, "Oh, we are living in a free world, let them do what they want to do." There is a risk for that, because without knowing, you are a threat. You may be isolated, but as long as you're in an environment where sin is, it'll only take time a short time before you'll be conformed to that sin. The Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. But we are called to be the light to the world. But you cannot take the light and hide it. Moving on, we also know that our society embraces success. But, saints, celebrity is not about success, saints. Celebrity is a way the devil is using to advance sin. We know the world is ruled by the devil. So when we have people branding themselves with various stars, various icons, movie stars, that's not the will of God. That's just a powerful way of spreading sin, saints. It's time we stood up and said no to sin. Sin destroys. The wages of sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen? Just as Brother Carl discovered what real freedom is all about, I too have to repent that as a sinner, I am broken, enslaved, confined, and a captive of sin. Yes, I may be healthy, but that could only mean that I am disease-free. Yes, I may be wealthy, but that could mean that I'm only debt-free. I may be educated, but that could only mean I am free from ignorance. There is only one source of real freedom, and that source is found in Jesus. Jesus, divinity in humanity. Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. The freedom that cost lives, the freedom that cost the 13 colonies to secede from Great Britain, the freedom that cost Thomas Nelson to die in poverty, required great sacrifices. But I want to tell you that real freedom came through the shedding of blood. God's love is manifested to us in that while we were still sinners, he sent his son, only begotten son, to die for us. When he was crucified at the cross, there is nothing which can compare to that price. That is what freedom is all about. And as verse 34 reads, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. You cannot have duality. You cannot be in the world and again be in the word. That's not possible. It's either you are in the world, it's either you belong to the devil, or you are in Christ. And saints, once Christ is in you, your walk, your talk, your lifestyle will be a reflection of who is in you. Instead of hatred, envy, jealousy, idolatry, what will be projecting out of you will be the fruit of the Spirit. Love, patience, long-suffering. That's what I call freedom. I don't have to look at you and think that because my skin is different from the color of your skin, then there's got to be something. That's bondage. I've got to see you in the light of Christ. I've got to see you that you are one and part of me for whom Christ came to die for, saints. And as I continue, let us always remember that Jesus did a lot, saints. He who knew no sin but came to die for us as sinners. Jesus, the lily in the valley. Jesus, the storm breaker. Jesus, the sin cleanser. Jesus, the savior of the world, is the only one who can make you free. And as I start to close down, I remember when we were growing up. I thank God because I was raised up. I was born an Adventist. Grew up an Adventist. Baptized an Adventist. And hopefully marry when I'm still an Adventist. And when Jesus Christ returns, I hope I'll still be an Adventist. Amen. I remember when we were growing up, I was, I think, 12 years old. My older brother was 15 years old. And our eldest brother was about 17 years old. Yeah. My dad decided to take a vacation, so he went to the rural home. So he had already given us our stipend, our pocket money, and told us, all right, I'll be gone. Be good children. Take care, don't misbehave. And we were upright children, you know. Growing them days in the mid-80s, you know, we never had this internet and stuff like that. We were straight, on the straight and narrow. But once my dad had gone, and we knew he had boarded the bus, and we knew he was going to stay there for about 2 weeks, we, the three boys, myself, Wycliffe, and Kennedy, we got together and said, hey, my dad left his car around. It was a Volkswagen Beetle. And I remember it had a manual transmission. And we said, all right, let's go drive the car. But there was one challenge. We lived in a big house which had a big front yard and backyard surrounded with trees. So we decided we ain't going to try to drive it within the compound. Let's play safe. Let's push it out of the gate. And let's drive it on the straight road, the Bajuni Road. It was all right. When we got it out, we realized it never had gas. So we took our stipend. Please pay attention. We took our stipend. Grouped together, had enough money, rushed to the gas station, got gas in a jerrycan, came, popped up the hood, put in the gas, went to start it, it couldn't start. But there was that indicator there. So we knew what required. It required to be jump started. So Kennedy got to the steering wheel. We got some neighbors. We pushed it, it started. And now we knew we were set for fun. But it had gone way, way towards the end of the street. For us to enjoy our fun, we had to back up and drive down the street. So we told Ken, we'll give you directions. You reverse, just back up. As Ken was backing up, he hit the posts of the neighbor. And there the car had a dent. Wow. I remember it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll never forget that. We stopped. Turned off the car, pushed it back to where it was parked, and we had a consultative meeting. We put our heads together. What are we gonna do? An idea popped in our minds. We still have some money left from our pocket money. Why don't we rush to the body shop and talk to the mechanic? Because he knows us. Every time my dad used to take the car for repair, we always used to go with. Great idea. There we stepped out, rushed, and we found him there, Mr. Amin. We told him, hey, man, we got a situation here, man. We just messed up with our dad's car and it hit the post. His first question was, where is your dad? We told him he's gone on vacation up country. I don't know how it happened, but either Amin feared my dad because of the job he used to do. Amin said, hold on. He just thought for a little bit. He sent one of his workmen to come with us. The workman came, looked at the car, did something on it, and the car looked good. We paid him from the remaining money. Since that time, we were now waiting for my dad to come back from his vacation. But you can always know that our hearts were not at ease. Our fingers were always crossed. But the day came, and my dad was there. The best thing my dad did when he came is he never went for his car. He first went, took a shower, relaxed. It was past 6 o'clock. Darkness had already come in. So we knew we were covered for that night. But the following morning, my dad called us. Vincent, Wycliffe, Kennedy, come over here. What happened to my car? We were just straight with him. We just told him, Dad, we tried driving the car. And accidentally, when Ken was backing up, it hit the post of the neighbor. Whereas my dad was used to being a strict disciplinarian. Whereas my dad had the chance to whoop us. And when I talk whooping, I'm talking about whooping in the African context. This time, my dad was at peace with us. He just told us, never do something like that again. Because you may end up knocking somebody and killing him. He forgave us. What am I saying in all this? As long as we waited for my dad to come, as long as we tried to cover up for that sin which we had done by commission, we were still not at ease. There was some guilt in us. We were not free inside. And as long as we keep on sinning and trying to cover it up, either through by body works or through other agencies, you will never be free. Our freedom came when Dad forgave us. So is it with us, Christians? Real freedom comes when Jesus Christ forgives you. And once he forgives you, it's upon you to let Christ dwell in you. Once Christ dwells in you, then you are free indeed. Right? That's why our closing hymn will be touching on the burden of sin. Once you've been freed, the burden of sin, leave it alone, saints. Walk in Christ. That is what freedom is. Will you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. God bless you.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.